under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
You're listening to The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion that we have each and every day as we face the issues as we come to you on this broadcast each day. Facing the issues, we look forward to having your dialogue and discussion on it. Lest I forget it, and sometimes I do, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. After a brief monologue, we'll open our telephone lines and invite you to call in. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. Today, we're talking about stand up, speak up, resist the enemy. You know, that's biblical. Resist the enemy and he'll flee from you. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, that as Christians, conservatives, and patriots, we have the right, the responsibility in the society in which we're living in to speak out against immoral, ungodly, unholy, unethical moves, rules, regulations, and guidelines that are so often promulgated through the governmental system, whether it's federal government, state government, local government. We have those today across the nation that are trying to rebel, if I can use that term, against President Trump's new guidelines, rules, and regulations, if you please, executive orders, that's designed to protect morals and ethics and values in our nation. And yet we have colleges and universities, local schools, and schools across the nation that's refusing to recognize President Trump's executive order that there are two genders, male and female. Not 157 genders as the transgenderism, the LGBTQI+ sodomite agenda would have you to believe. God created two genders, male and female. Created he them, the scripture says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. May I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that today, as we talk about this subject, this issue, stand up, speak up, resist the enemy. I recently started reading in a book. It was sent to me to the university from a publisher out in California. And I'm not going to give you the title of the book because I do not want to promulgate it and push it. I do not want to give you the author's name because I do not know the author. But in reading, scanning the book, I've not read verbatim the book, the author's book, Advocating Silence. In fact, he says that Christians are out of order, basically, against God if we speak up and do not submit to all governmental rules and regulations. I'm surprised by that. The silence and submission is to be to all government ordinances, rules, regulations, and laws. Of course, the writer calls Christians who speak out and stand up for morals and ethics and biblical values, he calls us Christian nationalists. That's supposed to be a demeaning term today, Christian nationalist. Christian nationalism. What does it mean? It simply means Christians standing for our nation, for the morals, ethics, and values in our nation. But it's become a woke, cultural, demeaning term that's being bounded about today. In other words, Christians who want government to honor God and government that's moral and ethical and biblical and honors the Lord are all just out of order, if that's what we want. I just say, well, should Christians respond to it? I think that we should. I think that we should stand up. In fact, I'm looking at an article. Let me just read a word or two from it. It's one of the most evil things we've ever seen. Senator Chuck Schumer and the abortion lobby just blocked a bill that would have ended legalized infanticide. We've witnessed in horror as states have passed laws that could allow babies to be killed up to 28 days after the birth. The law uses manipulative wording to essentially legalize infanticide. The House of Representatives just passed the Born Alive Abortion Survivor Protection Act. This bill would require doctors to administer life-saving medical care to any baby who is born, including an abortion survivor. The Senate was scheduled to vote, but Chuck Schumer did Planned Parenthood's bidding and blocked the vote. Now the question is, should we be silent? Should we sit back in silence? Should Christians speak up, stand up, say anything about that? I think that we absolutely should. I think that it is morally and ethically required of us. So we're going to discuss some of those avenues and events that are taking place today and how we should respond to it as Christians. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as we face the issues each and every day, our issues and what we predicate our decisions and stand on, not based on denominational dogma. We do not base our position on philosophical rhetoric. We do not base on our conclusions and what we say based on simply what is culturally, how would you say, woke, culturally correct. No, we base it on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I call it the truth book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, said this, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17, 17, there's a declaratory statement made about the word of God. The Bible says, "Thy word is truth." Then in Psalms 117, verse 2, the Bible says the truth of the Lord endures forever. How long is forever? It's forever. Ladies and gentlemen, we're in a culture today where truth is not embraced. Truth is ignored. Truth is rejected. Truth is remonstrated against, generally speaking, but in a shroud that sounds like it is factual, but it's a partial truth. A half truth is a whole lie. It was the secularist George Orwell that said, the further society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We find truth matters regardless of which side of the aisle you come from, regardless of what part of the nation you live in. Truth still matters. It's the decline of truth in America that causes the difficulties we have, I believe, in a major degree. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that said, among other things, what we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, according to the latest survey, the millennials, the 18 to 35-year-old age group, say there's no such thing as absolute truth. That puts our nation, that puts our society in a state of flux, that there's nothing that we could point to and say, that's fact, that's true. In fact, the headlines on that article says, most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. And the article opens with this statement. Webster's Dictionary says truth is the body of real things, real events, real facts, actualities, and the state of being in the case factual. Ladies and gentlemen, 55% of that age group, millennial age group, say this, and I quote from the article, each person determines their own version of truth. I believe it's time that we go back to the fundamentals of truth. I quote often from Jan Hus, the 15th century theologian and church reformer. Now listen, he wasn't perfect. A lot of his theological doctrinal beliefs I would disagree with in some of the finer points. But one of the statements that he made that's impressive to me, he says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And I believe that's the mantra that we ought to have. I believe that's the modus operandi, if you please, that we ought to embrace. I believe that's how we should live today, is seeking the truth, listening to the truth, learning it, loving it, telling it, live it, and defend it even to death. In fact, Jan Hus, as he was being burned at the stake, he said this, and I quote, Christians must follow the teachings of Christ, not the doctrines. He went on to say, seek the truth, listen to the truth, teach it, love it, live it, and defend it even to death. In his dying moments, as he was being burned at the stake, he said, truth shall prevail. That ought to be our standard today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. It's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. There's a benchmark, an identifier. The Tools for Time has on its campus a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole is the old glory U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. Base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, should we be silent or should we stand up and speak up? When we recognize biblically, Proverbs 29:2 says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And so, Proverbs 14:34, Scripture says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. We have watched for years under the Obama and Biden administration, the denigration, the destruction, the tearing down of morals and ethics and values, biblical truths, many times shrouded under through a bill or a lie or a so-called executive order that we're now finding, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, Biden probably didn't sign any executive orders. Biden probably didn't sign any legislative or laws, if you will. They're finding that a auto pen probably did all of the signing. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, that's being investigated now. And if that's proven to be true, I don't know the legalities. I do not know whether or not anything he signed would hold water or stand up in any court of law if he did not personally know what was being signed or if he did not physically, personally sign them. That's a question that's in the air now. That's a question that is still yet to be answered. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize that we, even though President Trump is in office, even though he signed executive orders, even though President Trump has set up a department under the leadership of Pam Bondi out of the DOJ that will investigate every, agency in the federal government to make sure, there's no Christian bias against Christians. There's no bias in those rules and regulations or guidelines that would be against Christians. It is still a major, major issue today where mayors and governors across the nation are standing against, resisting and rejecting President Trump's reversal of the Biden rules and regulations, especially the one about Title IX and the U.S. Department of Education, Title IX, where in Title IX would not allow males to participate in female sports. That's being, if you please, challenged by mayors and governors across America. I'll touch on this, and then we'll take our first caller. Headline says, President Trump makes good on threats to pull funding from state of Maine due to the trans sports defiance. President Donald Trump has halted funding for research and programs at the University of Maine system following the state's governor's defiance of his executive order, slashing funding for the states that allow men to compete in women's sports. The Maine governor, Janet Mills, publicly opposed in the February the 5th executive order protecting women's sports from transgender intrusion. Governor Mills yelled, "See you in court." I don't know if you watched that dialogue, that discussion, but it was fascinating to watch. President Trump said, "You'd better comply. You better comply, because otherwise you're not getting any federal funding." Goes further in this article. The University of Maine system, a network of 8 public colleges in the state, received an email March the 11th. Revealing that Trump was making good on the threat. The Department of Agriculture Chief Financial Officer ordered all payments to be paused while the department evaluates if it should take away all following actions, take away any of the following actions related to possible violations at the school. This pause is temporary in nature while the USDA evaluates if it should take any follow-up actions related to the perspective of Title VI and Title IX violations by the school in the state of Maine. The email to the university system said, "Please take any necessary actions to effectuate this direction from leadership. This pause will remain in effect until further notice." An online recall petition calling for, here's the results for the governor of Maine. An online petition is calling for the removal of Governor Mills from office has gathered nearly 30,000 signatures since it was posted just a week ago. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got stacks and stacks of articles where mayors and governors across America have determined that they do not have to comply or abide with or abide by the rules and regulations and guidelines, executive orders of President Trump. However, go back a little, and you will find that under the, quote, signed executive orders by Joe Biden, of which now we're finding he probably didn't sign, if an individual, if a school, if a organization or a company failed to comply, automatically there was the thugs with badges from the Department of Justice under the then chief law enforcement officer in the Department of Justice. Somehow, some way, you were compelled to do so, dragged into court, promulgated through the FBI, where parents were called domestic terrorists if they challenged the departments of education with the garbage that was being produced and promoted in the schools to brainwash and to sexualize our sons and our daughters and grandkids. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in a different era, but I think that somehow, some way, there's the possibility, maybe you disagree, love to hear from you. There's the possibility, I believe, that Christian conservatives and patriots say, now we've got a good president. Now we've got a president that's going to stand for our morals and ethics and values. We need not worry. That is simply not the case at all. Look at another headline. College charged with bucking state's new restroom laws. Officials to investigate an Ohio college, it says, in violating the state law of federal Title IX. By forcing female students to share restrooms with men. And I'll read the balance of that article in a moment. But it's that focus that we want to take today. Should Christians, conservatives, and patriots, should we stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen, and resist the enemies in our nation, or should we sit in silence and submit, as one writer that I spoke of a moment ago said that we should do? Ladies and gentlemen, the author of that book, Unbiblical, I believe it was, said that America's founders were all simply deists, not Christians at all. He says that America is nothing more than an unintended heretical gift at its best, end quote. I don't know where he's been for the past four. By the way, his claim to fame, he's written 400 songs in the past 28 years. No theological education, no theological background, never having pastored a church, never having done anything that would examine the scriptures, but he's an expert on the subject now. We've got enough of those experts, I believe, already in our system today. I believe I have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir, Dr. Gilbert, you said experts. They're not experts.
Yeah.
And for those schools and the colleges that refuse to do Title IX, they say woke, but they're going to be broke.
That's a good term, and I pray that's the case. And Trump right now already cracking down on those that's openly defiant, open like the Governor Mills of the state of Maine. Others are doing the same thing, not just state governors, but college presidents and those that are involved in the educational system, the academics across the nation. Somehow, some way, Kenneth, there's a mindset that when it comes to that which is biblical, that which is honorable, that which is godly, that which is ethical and moral, somehow we have gotten a low ebb in society where those leaders think that we don't have to do anything. We can override the morals, ethics, and values of the conservatives, the Christians, and the patriots, and they must comply. And the mindset has grown, I think, deep and wide in our nation where that seems to be the attitude that is taking place. Let me read the other portion of this article and get your take on it. It says the officials that investigate Ohio College says it's violating state laws and federal Title IX by forcing female students to share restrooms with men. The America First Legal Defense has written to both the U.S. Department of Education Officers for Civil Rights and the Ohio Attorney General, asking them to investigate Kenyon College, a private school located in Gambria, Ohio. Goes on to talk about what they've done, but what they take place. The article here reads, Kenyon's, that's the college, policy forces women to share intimate facilities in all academic and admission buildings on the campus with men, end quote. In fact, Governor Mike DeWine of that state had signed an order prohibits academic institutions from constructing, establishing, or maintaining multi-occupancy restrooms that are not designed for either men or women. Now, the mindset seems to be in that state also that there's no need to follow the executive orders or the laws of the land. How should Christians, conservatives, and patriots in those states and even across America, how should we respond? Should we be silent? Should we speak up? Should we expect our rights and freedoms and religious liberties and freedom of speech, or just comply?
Dr. Youngblood, if we don't speak up, they're going to knock us down, and we're going to be like Russia, China, everywhere that they do not have, socialist society, our communist society. Everywhere that they knock the church down, that was it. Hitler, that was it. You had, I think, one pastor stand up. But we will be knocked down, I mean knocked down like Joe Frazier did.
Yep, you're right. You're right. Down. And Kenneth, one of the things that is a underlying premise that I go by the scripture on, most people do not recognize the fact that the Christian life is a battle. The Apostle Paul, in his waning days of his life, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, 7, and 8, and I'll just paraphrase the statement. The Apostle Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. Noticing that, I have fought a good fight. The Christian life is a fight. It's a battle. We can't sit down in silence. We can't sit down and accept and embrace the woke cultural mindset. We can't accept as Christians and embrace the sodomite LGBTQ lifestyle. We must speak up. We must stand up. We cannot be silent any longer. Silence no more is the order of the day, in my most humble opinion. And therefore, I think, Kenneth, that as you have said, so often as we've talked, I believe it's time that Christians stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. I think it's time that we stop being silent. I think it's time that pastors ought to take a stand from the pulpits of talking about the morals and the ethics and the values that the culture is trying to embrace, force upon our churches. I think it's time Christians recognize that our religious liberties and freedom of speech cannot be infringed upon just because we're Christians. So, Kenneth, it demands our prayer, our recognition,
yes, sir,
that we keep looking up and keep on in the battle. As the Apostle Paul says, I've fought a good fight. That's where we need to stand today. Thank you so much for your call, and God bless you, and may we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, we're facing an issue today. Stand up, speak up, and resist the enemy. Do you think that's right? Should Christians speak up? Should Christians just, in fact, there are so many people today as pastors and Christian leaders and Christians in general that say, well, you know, God created government, and government's designed for all of us to follow. We need to submit to the law. We need to submit to whatever government says. Listen, in Acts chapter 5, Peter and others had been preaching on the street. We call them street preachers today. They were reprimanded and said, you can't do that. They kept doing it. So therefore, they were beaten and thrown in jail. The next day, they released them, said, now, don't you do that anymore. You can't go out and preach on the street corner. They did. And they were challenged again, confronted again. And Peter said, we ought to obey God and not man. If you put it in today's vernacular, we ought to obey God and not government. I think it's time that Christians and conservatives and patriots recognize that we have two citizenships. As Christians in particular, we have one citizenship that's in heaven. We've got another citizenship here on earth. And in the earthly citizenship, we're charged with the responsibility of being salt and light. Salt does not stop decay, but it delays the decay. And light illumines, brings out of darkness that which is taking place. We need to be salt and light today. I believe it as no other time in the history of Christianity. We need to take the stand on morals and ethics and values. I'm looking at a headline, ladies and gentlemen, not normal. A college is charged with bucking, B-U-C-K-I-N-G, bucking state's new restroom laws. A legal group is urging government officials to investigate a college that says it is violating a state law and federal Title IX by forcing female students to share restrooms, bathrooms, locker rooms, showers with men. What do you think Christians should do? How should we respond? Ladies and gentlemen, mayors and governors and cities that are standing against President Trump's reversal of the Biden rule. Biden, as you know, had just by his so-called executive order changed Title IX so that transsexuals, homosexuals, all of those multiple genders could go into female bathrooms, shower rooms, locker rooms, and participate in female sports. That has come to an end. Officially, it's come to an end by President Trump's executive order. But it's not being followed. It's not being practiced. It's not being viewed as being absolutely necessary. Ladies and gentlemen, I go back and think of when I asked the question, should we be silent? Should we stand up and speak up? Should we face the enemy with the tools that God's given us in the Word of God? Putting on, according to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 10 and following, putting on the whole armor of God. Listen, why is that in the scripture? Putting on the whole armor of God. Verse 13, then, after we've armored up, facing the enemy, the scripture says, having done all, stand. We're not to run. We're not to bow. We're not to bend. We're not to comply. We're not to submit to anything that will be immoral, ungodly, and unholy as Christians. May I say to you, we need to recognize the enemy in order to put on the whole armor of God and do battle that God calls us to do as Christians. I think about in the book of Daniel, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 30. It's 30 verses in the chapter. And in that text, we find the three young Hebrew men when the false god was set up and the king commanded that everybody bow and worship that false god. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, no. That was the order. That was a federal order. But they said no. They didn't bow. when they were challenged and chided and given a second chance, they didn't bend. And as a result of that, they were thrown in the fiery furnace. The Lord Jesus Christ was there with them in the furnace. They didn't burn. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to continue this thought in just a moment. The top of the hour news is coming up right after the news. We'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
WTRJ, Orange Park, WAYL,